Hey, everybody, welcome to episode 172 of Two Legs, a Paul McCartney podcast. On today's show, we are doing part two of our reconstructing series with a, what is he, a buddy, a friend, an acquaintance,
frenemy.
we'll get to him in a second, but I'm Tom Hunyadi, one of your two co-hosts, and as always, I'm joined by my partner in crime, a backwards traveler. He is Andy Nichols. Andy, what's going on?
Afternoon, partner. Digging your shirt. And
thank you. Yes. A little Bowie action.
Yeah. Good shirt. Yeah. Yeah, I'm doing well. Just hanging in there. And I'm happy to tackle some. We haven't done one of these in a while, though. Right?
It's been a few months. Yeah, it's been a few months. And we were joined by the person that you see as well, and
or here
and he is none other than he's Sam Wiles. He is a Paul or nothing.
And the superior Paul McCartney podcast.
Oh, here we go.
I mean, you were trying to think of adjectives for me. I'd say your role model maybe would be the best way to put it.
The redheaded stepchild, right? The redhead.
That's it.
Your inspiration.
Nice having you. See you in 6 months. Bye.
Yeah.
love you too, Andy. Love you too.
Look at the time. Anyways, but it's good to see you, Sam. As always, it's nice hanging out with you. And I just remember back in the day, I think in 2016, as you know, David, my original co-host, and I were, you know, rushing to get a Paul McCartney podcast off the ground, if you will, and then a couple of weeks later, discovering that there's three other ones that popped up around the same time. I don't know if it was the same kind of discovery for you, but it was. Do you remember back? You know, thinking, you know. I'm gonna be the first one. Did you think I was gonna be the first one or what?
I thought so. I mean, I'd already been the first Tom Waits podcast, so I was pretty happy with that one. I was pretty happy getting that one under my belt. And I mean, I could have dragged my feet for another 2 years and still done the first George Harrison or Ringo Starr podcast.
Right. But,
I think I stayed away from that material for the same reason that you two probably did, because there's just not you can't get half a decade out of George Harrison stuff.
Right.
I don't think so, really. But yeah, it's a pleasure to be back. This has been another fun episode to prepare for. This is a fun little format. Keeps us together, you know. It keeps us in contact. It's almost like military games where each country gets to display their might in front of the other ones. Be like, don't you dare invade, because this is what we do.
Right. Yeah, it's just another way for you to kind of worm your way onto our show here. Yeah, I'm just teasing. It's great to have you here, Sam. But it's kind of almost like perfect timing here, because even though this episode is gonna, you know, post in a couple of weeks, but you know, last night you got to see Paul, well, not really live, but because it was like an hour after the fact. But you got to see Paul with Glastonbury. But the night before, he did a little surprise gig. Was it the, how do you pronounce it? From?
I don't know. Flying to my Frome from.
Did you see who was there too?
No.
Who was
you didn't
there?
See? You didn't see who got it, met up backstage with Wicks? Was
It was Chris Whitten.
Chris Whitten and Robbie McIntosh.
That was a recent photo. I just thought that was from Chris Whitten's like stock of old photos. That's really
that was a recent gig.
They were at the gig.
Yeah, that's right.
Hadn't seen a photo of Chris Whitten since what he looked like. So he's aged quite a bit.
What you don't see a photo of though is, you know, in the video for Beat It, when the two like sort of hoodlums tie their arm together and have a knife fight, that's what happened between Chris and Abe Laboriel Jr. They totally had a scrap.
I want my old spot back.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Oh,
but
man.
I mean, did you hear about this, or were you working about this surprise gig? And did you try to actually get tickets, or what?
I actually found out through my friend who was actually going to Glastonbury because his mom went straight up to Somerset just to go see Paul. She actually did get tickets. Very, very lucky lady indeed. But it's not a shock that it did happen. You don't really get a
Right.
sound check at Glastonbury because it's a live ongoing show, whilst Noel Gallagher and his High Flying Birds, everyone's favorite Noel Gallagher band is, packing up all of their stuff. You can't really come out on stage and go, all right, let's do a bit of Sea Moon. It doesn't really work that way. Yeah. So a nice small venue, 700 people, probably the most unique Paul McCartney gig in like 5 years, except maybe the Egypt Station Cavern Club gig or the Live at Grand Central Station
Grand
gig.
Central Station, which I'm still kicking myself for not going to, but moving
Oh.
on.
You would have been able to hear some of the bonus Egypt Station content before everyone else. Oh my gosh. Those classic renditions of those songs. The From show or the From show apparently went down very, very well. People were glad to see Paul back in the UK. And I'm glad he did it because it allowed him to kind of come out swinging for the Glastonbury show. Obviously, there were some of those early got back shows that were posted online, like Spokane, and like those early ones. And people were a bit like, "Is he okay? Is this going to be okay?" That there was a bit of trepidation, and you hear it time and time again. Once he'd got into the flow of the show, his voice improved, and his manner and his stage presence, yada yada
Seems to
yada.
be how the tour has gone. A little rough here, and then his voice gets going, and it's a flawless show usually once that first half hour or so is over.
I'd say that he did pretty well almost right out instantly with the Glastonbury performance. There were very few audio cock-ups. I mean, purely my favorite part of it was just the fact that this is essentially going to be, in terms of posterity, the Got Back live to a DVD that won't exist. I mean, DVDs don't exist thanks to Disney Plus now, but this is the high quality version of all these shows. We don't have to watch it on on Facebook or YouTube off someone's terribly shaky iPhone or anything like that. We get to see the Got Back tour at its best, presented in the best possible form, and that was worth telling the BBC that I have a TV license to allow me to watch it on iPlay. Shame there was
Paul's.
no. I'm
It's
sorry.
got to
Go
be
on.
Paul's first show in the UK in how long, Sam?
Probably. Is it since I saw him? Did he do
I
a
think
tour?
probably since you saw him, since you talked, because he was supposed to do that tour in 2020 over
That got
there, and
canceled.
yeah, and that got canceled. So, but yeah, that had to have been the last time, I would imagine.
Must have been. You saw him out in the audience. I can't see him.
But the thing with the From show is this is from I guess some kind of post from them saying that this is an incredible opportunity to watch Paul warm up for his Glastonbury headlining performance this weekend. It won't be Paul's normal set, so expect an
And what a
afternoon
load of shit
full of wonderful surprises. And then you read that, and then you see the set list, and it's just a big
God,
ha-ha.
So it's funny you mentioned that, Tom. I was reading through the tour book this morning, and he talked. The interviewer asked him a question. Did you read this? Saying that would you consider doing a nerds only type show with B sides and deep cuts? And he's like, I've often thought about it, and one of these days I have to do that. He said. He says, so whether he will
Well, he
do
had
it or
the
not, he will
opportunity
not.
there, but
Come on,
yeah,
Paul.
at times,
Paul's
yeah.
ticking.
What were
At
your
age 80,
impressions?
I'm finally going to do Monkberry Moon Delight.
Doing the light,
Oh,
right?
crash in the attic.
Oh.
Oh,
Who
no.
cares? Who cares if his voice can't do it? He's doing it, you know?
I know.
Were you pleasantly surprised? I mean, watching the show. Listen, the kind of thing that everybody's been saying after what they've been going to the show says, hey, he didn't sound as bad as he did before, So, I think the 2 years was did him good.
What you could definitely pick up on with the higher audio quality of the BBC and the Glastonbury setup is you can, a couple of people mentioned this on my five-part Got Back miniseries or whatever, that you can hear vocal tricks that he's using, so he doesn't have to quite extend notes all the way or do little quirks to make it sound like he's singing what he's supposed to be singing without doing that much stress. And it didn't actually detract from the performance to me. It actually, if anything, reinforced how much of a master he is. Like, in the same way that one day he might take the key or the register down in a lot of these songs, and the only reason he will do that is to ensure that he can keep doing it. And until that time, he's going to do all these little tricks. You know, the backing band are going to come in brilliant form to kind of boost the levels up there as well. He sounds absolutely fantastic. Of course, the crowd were loving it. As a Brit who spends 90% of his time trying to get people to listen to Paul McCartney so he can talk about Paul McCartney to those people about listening to Paul McCartney, the idea that millions of people in this country were experiencing mostly Wings and solo stuff for the first half was quite extraordinary. For the regular nerds, that's, you know, it barely even feels like deep cuts or anything like that. But, you know, the general UK populace are watching Junior's Farm, then Let Him Go, Come On To Me, Let Him In, My Valentine, complete with Johnny Depp footage, which I thought was hilarious. Like that controversy went completely over the billionaire's head. Which I think is absolutely fantastic.
I think, listen, just to go on that real quick, you know, I still find it pretty, in a way, admirable because, listen, they're friends, and he obviously supports him. So, I mean, if he felt like he did anything wrong, you know, I don't see why. You would imagine he would take that. He wouldn't use that footage, wouldn't you? You know, I mean.
I'm just picturing McCartney going, "Look, Johnny, you didn't attack her with her false leg or anything, did you? Because I hear that that's quite a bad thing to do."
Right. You know, it's. I find it. I don't know the word, but I just.
It's stolen. It's just odd. Definitely.
Yeah. You know. But anyways, go ahead.
I'm just joshing for controversy's sake. But once all the Beatles stuff kicked off, then you could just tell the crowd was so vibing with it. Everyone was absolutely losing their minds. He was proper Beatle Paul. Mm-hmm. He even had one little great comment where he's like, "We know which songs you like and which ones you don't like.
You don't."
Because when we do an old Beatles song, all the camera phones go up. And then when we do a newer song, but we don't care. And then he goes straight into new. And I'm like, yes, would have been a great transition for Women and Wives.
Wives, yeah.
No. Keep that one in the gutter. Album track, great track. Not in a concert. Absolutely not. Sorry, Tom.
Yeah, but like, you know, he did it for like Record Store Day. St. Vincent was there. Come on, it could have been perfect. But instead, we got Bruce and we got Dave Grohl, both of which went down great with the crowd as well.
What did they sing?
So Dave Grohl did Band on the Run and I Saw Her Standing There. I Saw Her Standing There seems to be the go-to default I've got a guest star.
Right.
Because everyone could play it, I imagine. And then with Bruce, it was I Want to Be Your Man. And Glory Days. Right. So he actually did
Glory
song.
Days over there.
Glory Days. Wow.
And like, it was funny because no matter what happens during Glastonbury, it says that the name of the act, not the people who wrote the song. So it'll say like being for the benefit of Mr. Kite or something, Paul McCartney. And like this is fucking in my mind here. And then it said Glory Days, Paul McCartney. And I panicked a bit and I went, Paul McCartney. Glory. Oh, okay, it's a Bruce Springsteen song. Ooh, I thought, where's this song come from?
Where's this one? You did know the song, though, didn't you, Sam?
My knowledge of Bruce Springsteen starts and ends with the concert for New York. I'm afraid.
Oh wow! So you didn't even know you? Okay, so you didn't know Glory Days?
No, I mean, I love 10th Avenue Freeze Out as much as the next man.
Right.
I'm one of these people that thinks Born in the USA is a positive song with an uplifting message and isn't totally the most depressing song ever.
Yeah.
Yeah, complete noob to Bruce.
Yeah.
What's he called? The Boss. Is that his nickname?
The Boss.
The Boss. Yeah. The Boss. From Freehold, New Jersey. Just about an hour away from here.
But they were both good guest spots. They both did well. They're both clearly in awe of Paul. And like with him just turning 80, it's funny to look at how old the rest of the touring band is now.
Right.
And how old Dave Grohl is. Like, I thought he was like 32. It's like, oh my God, Dave Grohl's 93 years old.
This is insane. I saw some of the photos from last night and with Dave Grohl, and you see him kind of just like looking at Paul and just this admiration, you know, and it's just like something you don't get unless you see the picture, you know. Mm-hmm. And you just really tell that he loves Paul McCartney, you know. Same with Bruce. You just see these photos where they're just looking at each other and you kind of feel the love, you know, in those pictures. And it's nice to see Dave out there, because I think this was probably his first, you know, public or live performance since the death of Taylor Hawkins.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a tribute gig for Taylor in America, and there's one over here in the UK. So I don't know if he's here organizing that potentially. I'm not sure.
Right. Cool. So, well, thank you, Sam, for the update on the show there.
Good.
Glad you had a chance to see it. Glad you got to see it.
Yeah.
Right.
What channel? Was it on BBC One, Two? What was it on?
So Glastonbury was covered on both One and Two at different times. Paul took to the stage at 9:30, and it was broadcast on iPlayer and BBC One at 10:30. And there was like a news article this morning saying, McCartney fans enraged by 1 hour delay. And I'm like, you've got to give the people who paid tickets some sort of incentive to actually go.
Go, right.
You know what I mean?
Right. You know, yeah, well, now you say that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah, in the way that it's nice that Three Magic put an exclusive song on the physical format and then 1 week later put the single on Spotify. The bastards.
Right.
Never.
Anyways.
Never.
Yeah. Well, glad you got to see him. And yeah, the band is tight. I guess this was the 500th and 501st show that this current band has played with McCartney.
501.
So.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
A lot of shows.
A lot of shows since, what was it,
2002?
Yeah.
Super Bowl halftime show, Super Bowl 36, to be precise, when that band first came out. But there was a different – that was when What's-His-Face was still with them. Oh. Gabe. I think Gabe was still
Gabe?
With them. Yeah.
Did he do the Super Bowl?
I think he did the Super Bowl, yeah.
Okay.
And then he quickly.
Yeah, that's right.
Because then Wicks came in.
Then Wicks came back. Yeah, that's right. Yep. Cool. All right. Well, this is, like I said, this is part two of our Reconstructing the Albums series. And part one, if you didn't catch it, we'll drop a link down below. And you can watch that after you watch this. We reconstructed, what was it? London Town, Flowers in the Dirt, and Off the Ground.
Yep.
And this week, we are saying, well, this episode, we are reconstructing Red Rose Speedway, Back to the Egg, and Egypt Station. There you go. There you go, Egypt Station. So I have three albums that, you know, have quite a bit of material from those sessions to be able to do this. So this was a really, this was more fun for me than the last one. And I think we're going to have a good time with this episode. Well, I guess we can just start in order. We'll go with Red Rose Speedway first. And Sam, since you're the guest this time, we're going to have you go first for this album. And let us know what you did with Red Rose Speedway.
Just to say, before I go in, I do totally agree with you. This one was a lot more fun, purely because with the last one, I think we were all kind of congruent on what all of our favorite songs were. So it was just how are we going to order it and what type of album are we going for in terms of flow? But here, there is an embarrassment of riches, because not only do you have the two-disc version of the album, Which I love. I love the two disc re-release as part of the archive collection. But that's not even all of the stuff. You've still got Live and Let Die, Henry's Blues, A&82, Thank You Darling, Chance Street, and Soily. Oh. There's so much that you can put on.
So much.
And with me, with my version of Red Rose Speedway, I wanted to still do it as a single disc release. Yeah. I'm still thinking, you know, the record company's not going to want to put out a Wings double album right away. And I think it's just more interesting with the vast amount of material that we have to try and fit all of my favorites onto the one disc. I wanted to make this sort of more of a rock focused album. You know, I don't want Wings being this great rock act. You know,
right.
It's only known to those who saw them live. I want everyone to know, like, right out the gate. So that's also quite fortunate as well, because I just straight up prefer all the rock material on Red Rose Speedway. It's just an organization exercise, I guess. I've actually really cut it close here. I think it's about 22 minutes a side is the average. Side A is 21 minutes, 35 seconds.
Look at you, down to the second. You bastard.
Oh, no. Honestly, about 50% of my time is not picking the songs. It's going
it's
on
doing
to,
the math. It's
I'm
doing
going the math. On to, there's a great website called timecalculator.com.
Right.
That adds up in 60s rather than 100s. It's very handy.
Right.
I'm going to start.
It's funny you mention that, too, because... I was doing that with Red Rose Speedway, and then it was just like, and then by the time I got to Back to the Egg, I was like, I'm going to stop doing this.
Again, you'll drive yourself crazy with the running
time. It was just getting time consuming. But anyways, go ahead, Sam.
Well, it's also funny because, like, it's mad how, like, short a bunch of the early Wings albums are. And then you get to London Town and Back to the Egg, and you're like, these albums are like 7 hours long. How have they fit all of this on two sides? It's really crazy.
Right.
Anyway, I'm going to start out pretty similarly to the two-disc re-release version that we got a couple of years ago. Going to start out Night Out. I'm not going to be a douchebag and say that I want some of the cold cut extra vocals on there. Just the original Night Out. We'll leave it as is. It's a great way to open up the album conceptually. Then continuing my faithfulness, we'll have Get On The Right Thing. One of the Ram Hangovers, another brilliant tune, Keep Up That Pace. Then straight into I Lie Around. It's going to be rock and folk, back and forth as often as possible. I Lie Around, easily one of Wing's greatest B-sides. I'm still convinced it's Denny Lane singing it, not Paul, even though every source says it's Paul singing. It just sounds like Denny Lane. It just sounds like it to me. Then number four, we'll have Best Friend, a song that I put my nose up the first time I checked out the archive stuff. I was like, oh, this is a bit bog standard. And then you listen to it a few times. You're actually like, this is quite a fun chug-a-lug.
It is. Chug-a-lug. Yeah.
Tell me why. Why?
Yeah.
You know,
that's a grower.
And, you know, I think it's also like, it could be an attempt by Paul to do the most obvious song that people would think is about John, and it might just not be about John, because you know how every track on Ram, according to some tin hat wearing psychopath, is it's all about John, man. He wants John in the back seat of his car. It's like, no, that one's about Linda's ex-husband. You know the stories. Then track five, we'll go with Soily. And just because I had a bit of space on side one, we'll end side A with Single Pigeon. It's the only one that I've saved. I just think it'd be quite funny just to end it with this inconsequential yet masterful song. Starting outside two, Big Barn Bed. It's a good opener. We know it's a good opener. So we'll stick it on the second side. Then we'll have another folky double here with Country Dreamer and then Mama's Little Girl. I'm sorry, put it there. You'll have to find another B-side. Sling on the back. Put Peacocks on there. Make Peacocks an original.
Oh.
Yeah.
Ba-da-ba-da-ba. Oh, no! Oh, my God. No.
Such an underrated McCartney classic, that one. Somewhere, I don't know where it is, but That's clearly a vocal sample of Linda.
Yes.
And in some other media, she does the peacock sound, and I don't know where it's from, and it's been bugging me ever since. If anyone knows, put it in the comments, please. Song four on side two, we have The Mess, bringing it back to a bit of rock. And then closing us out, proper big ballad style, we're going to have Little Lamb.
Ah, very good. Okay.
I'm going to have My Love as a non-album single with Jazz Street as the B-side. And then maybe for the B-side of Live and Let Die, we'll have One More Kiss. But that's the best I can do. My Love hasn't made the cut. Thank You, Darling, and 1882. Sorry. Henry McCullough still hasn't got a credit on my version of Montrose Speedway.
I'll go next. And you know, when looking at Red Rose Speedway, everybody knows that listens, I am a huge fan of side A. I will not touch side A, even with a gun to my head. If I was forced to change anything, I wouldn't do it. I'd just say, kill me. I don't care. I think side A is absolutely perfect. Exactly.
It is.
Do it. Yeah. Do it.
It is a perfect album. It's a perfect album side. It is.
It's not as good as side two of London Town.
Maybe.
It's better than that.
Maybe. Ooh. Yeah. But it's the B side where I had a lot of fun because, you know, again, I'm just, you know, I respect the medley, but I am not a fan of the medley one bit. And we know that, you know, with the double album, there was going to be some live cuts on there. Some other people were going to have songs say what they were going to sing. So I made side B kind of reflect that in a way that it was just going to be an all live side. Mm-hmm. So we're going to open with The Mess live. Then we're going to go into Best Friend live. And then Linda will get her live song with Seaside Woman. And then Denny would get his live song with I Would Only Smile. And then we will end it with the epic that is 1882 live. And this will represent, you know, Wings as a live band.
But yeah,
and
I know you've always been keen on showcasing this. That version of the band as a live thing. So you get the best of the studio on your side A, and then the best of the live on side B.
Best of the live. Yeah, I mean, I thought that was right. And then with that, I think I timed it in just over 24 minutes. Plenty of room there. And I just think that, you know, all those old clips, all those clips that I've heard live, whether it's from the, the double album or it's from the, the mouse. That and then the mouse cartoon, they sound great. So it's a shame that we didn't get like an official, live album from that period. So why not, showcase it here on side B for my version of Red Rose Speedway. Again, I wanted to be crazy and creative in a way to kind of like, rearrange that side A, but I just couldn't do it. I just love that side so much, So
quick question.
Yeah.
We all know how McCartney treated Wings Over America. A, right. Are we going to have any extra sound of clapping and applause at the start and the end of a side B? Like when you come in, you go straight to the mess. And B, will there be clearly awkward studio overdubs? Because it won't sound perfect.
Oh, of course.
Probably.
Well, Denny and Henry will probably be out of tune for a song or two. So they'll have to go in and, do some studio magic on a track or two. Of course.
Linda might re-record her vocal.
Right. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Listen, you're discovering over these past few decades that a lot of these live classic albums all were, yeah, exactly. They all had some studio,
Sweetening.
sweetening. There you go. There you go. Absolutely. So that's my Red Rose Speedwagon. Speedwagon. Speedway.
Now, folks, all I'm saying is I hope Andy opens side A with the medley. That's all I'm hoping right now.
This is a simple one. This is a simple one for any of you that know me, because it was my
Yeah.
number one ranked album when we did our 80th birthday
That's
tribute show.
right.
So this was
So,
an easy
Andy,
this was
yeah.
easy. I only had to swap out one song.
Wow.
I'm not changing the lineup for anything.
Wait,
Side A is.
can we
Go
try
ahead,
and guess what
go.
the song was? What was the song?
Go ahead, guess.
Tom, do you
Tom
know?
knows. Tom knows what
Tom.
song it is, I think.
Oh, okay.
Not at the t no, I'd have to think about it, but was it something from Side A?
Absolutely not. Side A is
Oh.
perfect. I agree with
Yeah.
you on that. Your side A is flawless.
Oh,
Is
single
it
pigeon?
no, I'm gonna
Nope.
say Loop first Indian on the moon.
Bingo.
Yeah. There you
Yes.
go.
Andy doesn't like sluggish, boring Wings instrumentals. Yes, there it
Listen, I
is.
like that kind of music because it's very proggy. It just doesn't work for me on the album on side two. So this is a very simple one for me to do. I only had to swap out Loop, First Indian on the Moon, all, what was it, 4 minutes and 23 seconds of it. And I'm swapping that out with the cover song Tragedy, which they did so well. And
Wow.
I'm putting Tragedy on the album to keep that kind of mellow feel that is kind of evokes most of this record anyway, because I think it suits the vibe of the album already. It's kind of low key anyway. There's not the way Red Rose Speedway currently, the official album, it's not a huge rocking album other than Get on the Right Thing and Big Barn Bed. I think a Tragedy on Red Rose Speedway would have been a great addition to that record since it was done during those sessions.
It'd be
Interesting.
really cool as well that Wings would have a cover on their first and second album. Maybe that would
Yeah.
change
Right.
something with Band on the Run, that'd be
Yeah,
interesting.
so side two would just be the same, just with opening Single Pigeon when the night into Tragedy, and then closing it out with the my favorite, the medley. So yeah. Would I ever
That's crazy.
dare what?
I just, it's just like you've got double albums worth of material. And I admire that you love the album so much that you only make one change,
That's it.
it's
Because that's what this record to me, it doesn't need to be changed that much. There's one track I'm not too fond of. You've said how great Side A is, and I think a lot of people agree with you on how good that Side A. I could see where some people think, I know you're not a big Single Pigeon fan, despite our guest there. He loves Single Pigeon all less than 2 minutes that it is. And I could see the criticism for that. I just personally enjoy side two, and I enjoy the big grand finale finish of a medley and stringing together these songs at the end. So to me, having Tragedy on there was enough of a change to me. I mean, I can appreciate Loop, but it's the one I don't dig the most. And you guys both knocked it out as well. You didn't keep it.
No,
No, right.
def
Yeah.
def def
Yeah.
definitely not.
Right.
The
Definitely.
best thing about that song is it's nice to have during my housekeeping section, just like playing underneath it, because people aren't like listening to a crazy medley or like
So,
Squid can be quite distracting when you're trying to beg people for money on Patreon.
fair enough. So yeah, that was it. This was an easy one for me to do.
Okay. All right, we're gonna jump to Back to the Egg again. You would think, if you really dig deep, dig deep into the sessions, you'll see stuff that you can, more stuff than just the album and Good Night Tonight and
Sure.
and its B-side. So yeah, there's definitely a bunch of stuff that you can switch around here if that's what you want to do. I guess I'll start here with Back to the Egg. Now, again, I don't like to mess with perfection because, again, side A, I just feel is just so strong. And again, I know a lot of people, crap on Again and Again and Again. I think it's great. I think it's a really good, Denny song.
Get him out
And
of
I know,
here.
yeah.
Adios.
Yeah. I keep side A once again. Now it's side B where I really just go crazy with it. Okay. And I open side B with To You, and then I go right into Cage, and mm-hmm. then I take out that Million Miles or whatever, and I put in Did We Meet Somewhere Before? And that way now it's never gonna be in awkwardly in the Rock and Roll High School movie.
Hold on. You're taking After the Ball a Million Miles off the end?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah, because it's crap.
Yeah. God. It's crap.
No, but look, don't do a bad two-song medley and then put it next to Winter Rose Love Away, because you're just gonna.
Which is obviously it's the greater of the two, you know. Winter Rose
equally,
Love Away.
They're both equally awesome. Those little medleys.
Okay,
they're
not fair.
They're not equally good. Sleepy Joe, he likes Million Miles. I don't like it. I like Winter Rose. AOC, she wants you to listen to Rock Extra. I don't want that. Let's make Back to the Egg great again. Okay.
Oh boy. Oh boy. All right. So, Did We Meet Somewhere Before? I'm putting in there, and then that way, like I said, it's not awkwardly placed into the Rock and Roll High School film, which I just think it's a poor use. It's cool that song is in there. But it makes no sense that
why
song
is it in there. Why
twice,
is it in,
twice.
Right. Why? And having it, giving it an album release would have made more sense. Right.
Exactly.
Wasn't McCartney only paid like £200 as well for it to be used? Because it kept getting
wouldn't be surprised.
Tossed aside by so many other better films. Yeah.
Ooh, right.
Oh, I'll just take whatever and take Linda out for a meal.
You know, and then we go into Winter Rose Love Awake, obviously, and the broadcast, Baby's Request, and then we close with Good Night Tonight. So, which, you know, I think, you know, is an obvious choice. It should be on the album, and I think this album would probably be, you know, top three. What did it go? Was it eight? Was it five or eight or something like that?
Yeah.
So you throw in Good Night Tonight, and then he's back possibly at one or two in the album charts. But I take Rockestra and So Glad to See You. That's going to be the English, the first single released in the UK. And then so it's going to be its own single. You'll have, you know, 20 different remixes of that released the year and 2 years later.
Red vinyl, green vinyl.
Right.
Spotify does a release 40 years before it's created.
Right. Then obviously Goodnight Tonight will be the single here in the US with Daytime, Nighttime Suffering.
Now,
not making
the
cut.
Are you putting the single edit or are you putting the 7-minute version on the album?
Ooh.
Well, see, it's going to be the single will be on the
album
on the album, yeah. Okay. And then you'll get the 7-minute on the 12-inch single, And then on the B side, you'll get the regular single edit, and then you'll also get Daytime, Nighttime Suffering.
It sucks so much that on the 12-inch, it's just Daytime, Nighttime Suffering on the B side. It's just throw
on the B
side. Same time next year on there for nothing. Just come on, Paul.
That's a perfect 12-inch single as is, though. I don't think it needs anything else.
I just want the content, Andy. I just want the content.
And he's going for a whole package there. It's a new single, standalone single, and I don't know. Sometimes you think, oh, he should throw them on the album or not. I mean, you think that's obviously. If those two songs are on Back to the Egg, I think it does much better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Was it Songs in the Key of Life? Steve would have just threw an extra EP in there.
Yes.
Bonus songs. I'd love to have seen that throughout McCartney's whole career. That could have been quite interesting as well. Just like, here's a, you know, an EP.
Yeah, here's an extra
Cage,
EP. Yeah.
Maisie.
Right. Rosemary. Right. Kind of like just throwing in the extra, you know, the coming up single for McCartney 2. You know, you throw in, you know.
Is that what you got over in the States? You got the single with it as well.
You got the live version thrown in with the album. Yeah.
That's only not America, fair.
Columbia. They threw in because that was the hit. They threw it in. Yeah.
Yep. Thanks.
And it was just a one sided only single. There was nothing on the B side.
Yeah.
That should have been my Sleepy Joe rant. That would have been funny.
Oh boy. All right, Andy.
All right, so
go to you next.
Tweak this one a little bit. I changed up a little bit on sides one and two. I didn't do a total rejig. I think like our guest, he likes to just change the whole sequence of the album up. I like to kind of keep the frame and the kind of the concept that the albums are. Mm-hmm. So I did keep it with Reception and Getting Closer. I kept We're Open Tonight, Spin It On. That's out. That's gone.
And gone.
That's gone. We're replacing Spin It On with Goodnight Tonight. That's where we're dropping. Okay. We're dropping Goodnight Tonight in the fourth spot on the album. And then we're 86ing the next song again and again and again.
Again and again.
That's out. And we're dropping Cage into that spot at number five. So you've got Goodnight Tonight in four, then Cage at number five. Then Old Siam, Sir. Then Rockester Theme. Arrow Through Me. Flip the album over. Rockester Theme. The same. Next track, To You. That's also gone. Out of here. And we are dropping Daytime, Nighttime, Suffering in place of that. We're going to slot that in there. Rockester Theme into Daytime, Nighttime, Suffering, I think, is a nice one, too. Got the heavy rocker and then a nice classic McCartney song to follow it. And then the rest of the album, I leave unchanged. I keep After the Ball, Million Miles, Winter Rose, Love Awake. I think those are two great mini medleys. I love how they're sequenced next to each other. Million Miles. And after his singing on After the Ball, he's screeching for the heavens on that. I think his singing on After the Ball is awesome. So I would not take that off of this. I would not remove that or Winter Rose, Love Awake. I do agree it's the better of the two with you, Tom. The broadcast, So Glad to See You Here, and Baby's Request, and Call It a Day. And that's my reconstructed Back to the Egg. That's how I would change that up a little bit to do that, to keep that. And I'm putting both singles on. And I'm adding Cage. I'm putting both singles on, and I'm adding Cage, and I'm 86ing To You again and again and again, and Spin It On. Those are the three.
Spin It On. Wow.
Yeah.
Where does the term 86ing come from? Sorry, I don't.
It's a restaurant term. Or at least, someone's been fired. They're 86 from the joint. You know what I mean? Somebody out, they're 86. In a restaurant term, if we run out of something, it's 80. So, the pork chops are 86.
You never heard that reference there, Sam?
No, but I remember me and a colleague went to our rival pub for a quick meal. And she was like, are you sure we're going to have time to eat this? We've only got a half an hour break. I went, don't worry. I know Chef Mike. And she didn't understand that meant the microwave. And for about a year, she thought that I was friends with some guy called Chef Mike. She's since been 86'd.
There you go. You can tell your friends you learned some good American vernacular today.
Oh no, I mean, all I want to do before I die is say that I'm with my guma. That's all I want to do.
She's with his guma tone. Yeah. He's with the guma. Yeah.
No, Tom, Wings is actually very good though, Tom. Shut the fuck up, Chrissy. I like the Beatles.
Hey, we'll come to Jersey. Come to Jersey for the fest, and we'll get some gabagoo, and you'll be all set.
Yeah, I tell you, Sam, if you ever made your way to America next year, man, I'd show you all the spots where everything was filmed. I could take you to Tony Soprano's house. It's only 10 minutes down the road.
Can you? What about the restaurant where they filmed the final scene? Is that a local tourist trap as well?
It is now. It's about 20. It's only about a half hour from where I am. I could take you all the spots.
Let's put on some Journey. That won't annoy the staff.
Yes.
Oh, all right, Sam. Take us home with Back to the Egg.
You're reconstructing Back to the Egg.
Yes. Yeah. Andy's predictive diagnosis is entirely correct. I was always the kid that spent far too long on homework. If it was just like do your 10 times table, I'd take it further. Like, oh well, I've done this and I've done this. No such thing as extra credit in the UK. Complete waste of time. What I wanted to do with this is kind of redress the balance issues that I've got with Back to the Egg. It kind of, in some places, forgets that it's meant to be this rival to the punk and new wave. So I wanted to quite clearly bisect the two sides. My side A is going to be all rock all the time here on KBBL. And then side two is going to be weird McCartney stuff that the band has to put up with whilst they're meant to be this rock band.
Right.
And so my sunny side up is 20 minutes, 55 seconds. Opening with the correct opening song, We're Open Tonight. A nice right. kind of Venus and Mars-y. Okay, where's this album going now? Straight into So Glad to See You Here. Conceptually, that makes sense. Like, we're open tonight. You've arrived. We're glad you're here. You
know, right.
I could see that. Yeah.
I'm semi keeping with the original theme. Then you have Getting Closer, keeping up that momentum, that energy. Straight into To You, song number four. We're putting all that. I want to front load this, you know, Band on the Run's got nothing. This is front loaded with all the big rock numbers. Mm-hmm. Then we're going to have Cage, Old Siamsa, and Spin It On. All of that comes to just over 20 minutes, and it's epic. It's full on rock. No one would be able to listen to the first half of this and go, oh, you know, Wings are just a pop band, you know, rock no. band's clothing. Like, okay, this right. is a rock album.
Right.
Then those people would flip over to side two. And you open with Reception. And mm-hmm. immediately you're like, okay, this is different now. We have Arrow Through Me. I mean, I wanted to keep that on side one, but it's not a rock tune. It's Paul doing synthy Stevie Wonder. Onto Winter Rose, Love Awake. And then seeing as how we've had a synthy song and a nice couple of ballads, I thought, we can have a cowboy instrumental. I'm throwing Maisie on there.
Maisie. Oh, I debated Maisie.
I mean, I had to pick Maisie because Lawrence Juber tags me in all of his Twitter posts now. So I'm showing my loyalty to the Jubemeister General. I believe that's what McCartney called him. I've got no evidence for that. It's just a feeling. Then we have Same Time Next Year, followed by Robber's Ball. I had to include Robber's Ball. It's such a silly song. Like, what? It really exemplifies how weird the Back to the Egg sessions got, and you don't really get a sense of that on the final album. Then you have Baby's Request, and then you end with The Broadcast. So you have, you know, side two, open with Reception, end with Broadcast, all this weird stuff in the middle. Side one, We're Open Tonight, so glad to see you here, and then just all rock. Maybe Rockers. Rather than being on the way to the rock show, this is the opening is the show itself, and then this is the radio they listen to on the way back.
Right.
Yeah. What an interesting concept is flipping the themes of the sides up a little bit, which is cool. Yeah.
It's kind of reminiscent of those Rod Stewart albums of the 70s where, you know, side one would be, you know, rockers, and then side two would be just, you know, kind of like the softer side, you know, and he would like kind of like label it, you know, rock side, soft side. You know, but it's again, it's just, you know, I like the approach, you know. All rockers on one side and then crazy stuff, you know, on the B side. Pretty cool.
I did try and stay loyal to the whole, we're not putting the single on the album kind of thing. I think all three of us put Mull of Kintyre on London Town last time. I thought I'd try and upset Capital as much as possible by that decision. Also, I'm not going to totally screw Danny Lane. We can give him the B-side to Getting Closer, the single.
Oh, there you go.
He'll still make a bit of change. Probably more than having it on the album, to be fair.
Right, right. All right. That's Back to the Egg. Now we're jumping a few decades to Egypt Station, the one that I had the most fun with. And I think we're going to... Yeah, I think we're going with Andy first on this one.
Okay. Actually, somebody else start, because I need to make a couple All of right. changes.
Yeah, sure. No, I'll start. I mean, listen, this album, I make no bones about it. I really enjoy Egypt Station. You know, I still got one seal. This is the Target edition here. It's still sealed. I think I like what I like a lot about it is it's kind of like, you know, retro and like, new, kind of like all fused together. I mean, like, you got the younger producer, bringing in kind of like a mix of old and new sounds, merge it together. And I kind of wanted this album to sound more current, I guess, in a way. The songs I picked here, I think hopefully showcase that. But again, I just rearranged it. I didn't kind of like think of album because we're pretty much in still in kind of like CD mode, even though, vinyl is the big comeback now.
Side one, side two thing with
right,
this.
Exactly. But with the times on here, because I mean the bulk of these songs are all in the 3 minute range. I got it placed to where it'll fit on an album, okay, in an LP. Mm-hmm. So I'm keeping the theme of the opening station, okay, and I'm starting this album with Get Started, right? we're gonna get okay. Started. And then I'm going in.
I hate it already.
Right. I know. Fine. I love it. Going with Get Started. I moved into Happy With You. Who Cares? Definitely keeping Fug You in there. And then this is where a little changes up a little bit. I'm throwing in In a Hurry. And then ending that side with Nothing for Free. Absolutely. Then we flip it over and we start with Dominoes, Hand in which Hand.
Which I think is how it is. Isn't it on one of the sides right. Opens up with Dominoes, I think?
Side C, yeah.
Going with Back in Brazil, Frank Sinatra's Party. I still like Caesar Rock. Then Station 2 plays, and then we conclude with Home Tonight. But the needle is still playing, the rotation is still going, and then you get a hidden track, and it's oddly enough, Get Enough is going to be the hidden track on there, keeping up with albums like New and Chaos that had the hidden track on there.
I've only got two hands.
We got two hands. That's right. Should have been, I only got two legs, but I mean, this is the one I had the most fun with. A lot of these tracks are, in my opinion, kind of more, fresh sounding to my ears, it's not too retro sounding. I would play this album to a bunch of younger kids, and I think that they would totally dig the sound of this record. And, I've worked with a lot of younger people in the restaurant business, and I'll play them certain songs from Egypt Station, and they really dig it, even a track like Fuh You and Get Started and Nothing for Free as well. I mean, I play them those songs and they're like, oh, this is a really cool track.
Nothing for Free is one of the greatest songs of the late 90s, even though it's really so long.
Right.
That bass line, boom,
right.
That just to me feels like it could have been a Spice Girls riff. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. So I'm definitely going to try to find a way, or I'm going to, burn what I got here. I'm going to burn onto a CD and just, or make the playlist, Spotify playlist or whatever. But I dig this. Yeah. Hunyadi Station. There you go. Like it a lot. All right, Sam.
So, yeah, with this one, I wanted to make it a single disc release. I mean, the Egypt Station, as we know it on vinyl, it's a bit like what they've had to do with Flaming Pie in turning it into a double album. Like, there's probably enough material if you cram it to make three sides, so they kind of spread it out over two discs. It's not a proper double album in that sense. Maybe it could have been if the original material had gone on, but that's just the way it is. I thought it'd, again, be more interesting, be more of a challenge to my own sensibilities to see what would go on a single disc. And I also wanted to focus on the guitar based songs again, kind of make it a little more rocky. Again, I think I've shied away from some of the material that you did, Tom. I haven't got People Want Peace, Hand in Hand, Do It Now.
Right.
A lot of the I don't know, a lot of the old man Paul songs.
Right.
A persona which he ditched immediately for McCartney 3, which is what makes that album feel so fresh still. You know, there really isn't, you know, I don't know, just like him going, love true love, love true love, you know. It's delightfully upbeat, and I wanted to keep this as upbeat as possible. Side one, 19 minutes, 17 seconds. I start with station one, straight into Come On To Me, what should have been the original opening track, but it's I Don't Know for some ungodly reason. I got crows at my window. Come on. Then straight into
Sam, you've been doing that so well since 2018. You know?
But I don't know how to take anymore.
Go ahead. Sorry about that.
Station one, Come On To Me, Happy With You. Come On To Me, Happy With You is one of the best kind of double song moments on that album. I really liked how you kept Domino's into Back in Brazil as well, because I remember when I first heard that in order, it was absolutely sublime as well.
Right.
Track four, I've got For You, because I would never dream of getting rid of that song. It's one of the best on the album. Then track five, 62nd Street. I wanted another acoustic number on there. Right. I love that gorgeous little moment. And then ending on Caesar Rock. Hey!
Yeah. She got matching teeth.
I love how random that is. And then side two, 20 minutes, 42 seconds. Mm. We have the full-length version of Who Cares opening up.
Mm.
And then straight into Back in Brazil. Then nothing for Free. Frank Sinatra's Party. Then ending properly on Domino's, I really feel like, you know, Paul ending on It's Been a Blast would be great way to end the album. In the same way that People Want Peace is actually a great way to start the album as well. When you think of Ladies and Gentlemen, it's just a shame the song kind of loses a bit of momentum from there. And then the actual final song is Station 2, just to like bookend it nicely. Maybe I might do what the album does and put Station 2 as track 5 and then end properly on Domino's. It'll probably work either way, but I did want it to be It's Been a Blast.
It would be awful. Like
if he'd have died, if he'd have released that and then he died after that, that would have been the most spooky.
Well, that would have been a very spooky ending. But that's actually a nice touch, ending the album proper with a song with a line like that, Sam. Nice work.
And then I know singles don't really matter around this era, but I probably do Come On To Me back with Confidant, For You back with People Want Peace, and then a 12-inch. I think it'd be cool if Paul brought back 12-inch singles, like brought back the maxi single, like what isn't he releasing? And have it, despite repeated warnings, backed with Hunt You Down, Naked Ceiling. I think that could be a fun product.
Right.
Well, because take those. Those are the two longest tracks, really. When you take "Hunt You Down," "Naked Ceiling," and "Despite Repeated Warnings," those are the two. Everything else, as Tom pointed out, is in that 3-minute range on the album.
Mm. I did like your point how it does feel like retro and modern McCartney. It's almost like he took "New" and "Driving Rain" and just went smush these two together, and then we'll see what comes out on the other side.
Yeah, you know, and to your point too, I mean, I wanted to try to keep it upbeat as much as possible, you know. However, you know, the two slower songs, Happy With You and Hand in Hand, seem to be, you know, a couple of my favorites from that album as well. So, but yeah, definitely wanted to keep it, you know, upbeat and, you know, rocking, or however you want to say it. But Andy, you ready?
I'm ready. This one I had a lot of fun with. I disagree with you guys on a couple of, on one track for sure, which I think you both really enjoy, but I just despise. And that's, I'll get to that in a minute. But I kept the opening station. I kept both. I kept station one and station two. I like that. I like the album opening with I Don't Know. Cue the old man voice, Sam. Because it's so different.
I don't know.
I love that from the minute I heard it. And I'm like, okay, because it's setting the mood, all right? You hear opening station, and then it goes into that. So it's kind of like, okay, we're not opening up with a rocker out of the gate. Because how do you go from opening station and going to Come On to Me? That just doesn't work.
Yeah, but, I mean, if you're setting a mood with that particular song, and then the rest of the songs don't kind of, like, match that mood, then what's the point?
It's just a different way to open an album. Because it doesn't... And he usually opens all of his albums with, you know, poppy, you know, Fine Line, and Dance Tonight, and all. He opens up his albums typically with good, you know, poppy-type songs. A Save Us on New and stuff.
Right.
But, I don't know. Like, imagine if he opened Driving Rain with From a Lover to a Friend, though, rather than The Lonely Road. Like, it would just take the wind out of it. Sales a bit somewhat.
True. So I kept that the same. I kept opening station. I Don't Know. Come On to Me. Happy With You. Who Cares? I kept that. Then we get to For You. That's 86. That's out of here. I don't like it. I've never have from the minute I heard it. I cannot stand that song. I played it live and I'm like, oh God, this freaking song.
People think it's rude, but it means For You.
For You. I absolutely detest that song. So that's got to go. I swapped in Frank Sinatra's Party in place of that. And
We all had to put Frank Sinatra's Party somewhere.
Right.
So that to me, that ends side one. Side two, again, I don't know roughly running times. I didn't do the math like you all did. But side two, I'm opening up with Confidant because I like that as an opener. Into People Want Peace, into Dominoes, into Back in Brazil, into Do It Now. And then this is where things get a little bit, I switch things out. After Do It Now, I dropped Caesar Rock, and I'm dropping in Home Tonight there. And then I'm dropping Despite Repeated Warnings, and I'm going with Get Started. He got me into that one quite a bit with Get Started. I didn't like it as much, and then he kind of turned me on to that one a little bit. And then switching it back to an album track, Hand in Hand, into Station 2, wrapping it up with, not quite wrapping it up, but then I'm going with Hunt You Down, Naked, C-Link, which usually would close the album, but I switched it up a little bit, and I have one last track, and I'm ending the album with In a Hurry as a kind of pick-me-up kind of song, because Hunt You Down is such a long, drawn-out, long jam thing that goes on and on and on, and the album kind of just fades away. I like kind of almost like a Beautiful Night, Gray Day thing where you have a big, long song to finish it, and then you kind of end it with a song to kind of keep everybody's spirits up, kind of like what he did with Memory Almost Full with The End of the End, and then having... Nod Your Head. So I was going for the same effect here by putting In a Hurry on there because I think that's
so you're removing C-Link from the medley then, right?
Yes.
Is that what you said?
Okay. Yep. Oh, I'm taking
that's probably my favorite part of it though. Just all vamping.
I'm taking that out and then we're gonna close the album out with In a Hurry to end it. So the album opens up with a little bit of a downer note, but then ends on a super high note. That's kind of what I was going for.
Okay. Well, I mean, for me, it's like, you know, the cool thing about, I've always wanted to like Despite Repeated Warnings, and I've given the song multiple chances. But the cool thing about taking that out,
I don't like that song.
How can we stop him? Grab the keys and lock him up.
But
are we locking up Hillary? I thought we were going to lock up Hillary.
No comment. No comment.
Oh, there's going to be a lot of editing for this show.
No, there's not.
All right.
No, there's not.
Anyways. But the cool thing about getting rid of Despite Repeated Warnings is you can slide in an extra track in there. You know, you can get two for one. I like the two for one kind of
thing. Which is why I did that. Lose Despite Repeating Warnings and you can throw, you know, In a Hurry home or whatever you want to.
But then we lose the Janet Planet rhyme, which is everyone's favorite McCartney rhyme ever.
God, like, I hope not.
The moment you heard Janet, is it Janet or, yeah, no.
Janet.
Yeah, Janet's the first word. Yeah. I knew Planet was coming. You know, you just hear a word.
Very predictable.
And puts an emphasis on you like, oh no, he said maybe. It's probably going to be baby. Oh no, it's going to be. Yeah, there it is.
It's bad. I mean, it's like your loving flame. You know, what am I to do if I don't have you? I'll be feeling blue. Just sitting here without you.
you know, just as a quick aside. I am not jumping on the whole, I hate 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, let's go for a drive. I love that line. I think it's great. Everyone seems to hate on the driving rain track. I think it's really fun, actually.
You're actually working on that episode now, right? I mean,
It's taking a lot of time. It's not a fun one to work on because part one of three is going to be purely just the death of Linda, the introduction of Heather Mills, and the September 11th attacks. A real triple hitter, a real triple threat of entertaining, upbeat content that isn't going to turn people off.
And that'll be 5 hours long, right?
Yeah. I mean, I tried to do the whole Heather Mills section as non-biased as possible. I thought, no, I'm going to approach this material as a mature adult. I'm not just going to be there going, she's a bitch or whatever. I'm going to be nice and, you know, academic about this. And after like 2 hours of just reading about her, I was like, I can't do this. I'm going to have to be really biased here. I don't like her at all.
No more landmines.
Yeah. Right. Although I do like that voice song they did. The song that she and Paul did together. I really enjoyed that. Real obscure.
It was
the two of them did it together.
Is the dog barking or something?
Yeah.
It's no big deal. Anyways, but Andy, yeah, I mean, there's just so much you could do with Egypt Station. There's just so much. I mean,
you can do a lot of jigs. It's a jigsaw puzzle because you could reconfigure the album. It was a good period of riches in terms of material.
Yeah. I mean, you could even argue if you're a fan of Slidin', you can actually maybe even put that on here.
Yep.
Because it's the band that recorded around that same Egypt Station period. So, and I actually contemplated that, you know, adding a slide in because I really dig that track, you know.
I like to call myself on thinking of the most esoteric song to possibly put on these albums, and that's
fantastic.
Yeah. Now, I think for the last episode, I was thinking of putting the white. Or did I? Actually, I've got my notes just here. No, I didn't put the white-coated man on Flaming Pie, but I was tempted to do
Right. Like when was Fishy Matters Underwater? Was that the Speed of Sound?
74.
76? I think it's about 76. I thought 76.
Yeah. You know, if we ever did, yeah.
Man looks up something on internet.
It might have been 76, Fishy Man. Yeah.
76. Yeah. Demo.
Yeah. 76. Yeah. So, if you ever did, Wings at the Speed of Sound, that's definitely a possibility. Yeah. I'll take anything over Cook of the House.
Yeah. All I'm saying is when we do Wings at the Speed of Sound, it's going to have some Denny Lane Buddy Holly on it. That's for sure.
Oh yeah,
That's an album I would drastically reconstruct. Talk about. I would tear that one apart. I would.
Are there other recordings from that?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, you would have to dig deep into Eight Arms to Hold You, see what else is out there. Because we know, I mean, that was recorded in between the two tours. How much material do you actually have when you're trying to knock out an album as quickly as possible?
For starters, you throw Paul doing must do something about it on there instead of Joe English. That makes the album a little bit better.
Maybe, since Ringo's not using the song anymore and Paul produced it, open it with you can't fight lightning.
Right.
Which is legit one of my favorite
post-Beatles gold
songs ever. Oh,
pure gold.
Pure gold. Yeah, pure gold, possibly.
Any album can be benefited by Ringo Starr's version of Hey Baby being added to the track list. It's so good.
It's good. I enjoy it. It's a good track.
Yeah.
I love his cover version of that.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, this is a lot of fun. We'll definitely get we definitely can probably squeeze in a part three of this. Sam, with the least amount of time as possible, please tell people about your show.
It's called Paul or Nothing. It's a better version of this show. Go check it out. Links
below. No, you can, go ahead. I mean, what do you got coming up?
Coming up, I've got my discussion with Dr. Alison Bumstead, where we're talking about the representation of Linda in the media over 50 years. That was a really interesting conversation. Today, an episode I did with Lucas Hammer from the Ringorama podcast, where we go through every Ringer McCartney collaboration. That's coming out soon. And I've got to get around to Driving Rain. I really do, yes. Though I am dreading it. However, in terms of the album itself, very pleased with it. Really enjoying Driving Rain. Okay. Lonely Road, Spinning on an Axis, Heather. Your Way is like, what if he finished Bitpop? It's a brilliant.
Yeah, that's tune. A very. I've always felt that that's a Wildlife throwback sound. Your Way. Yeah.
Boom, 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 boom.
Yeah.
Boom, boom. Yeah. It's very Wildlife. It's such a good album. Although no one's going to like the fact that I think Heather's one of the best songs on the album.
You know, I think musically, a lot of people musically, it's fantastic. I think people will recognize. I think people do recognize. I mean, listen, despite the fact that, he had the relationship with her, it didn't work out. You still got to recognize Heather as being a beautiful medley. Not medley, but melody. I'm sorry, melody.
And I love the little spurt of lyricism at the end is really delightful as well. And then what's that 10-minute song at the end that I didn't
know? Oh, the Raindrops.
Raindrops.
There's a great 3-minute track in there somewhere. Right. I would, if I was the producer, if I was David Kahn, big red pen moment to that song.
Right.
Let's just scribbled 70% of this out.
But you got to keep that fantastic scream at the end. He just really rips his vocal cords with that scream at the end. Love that. Love it. Love it. Love it.
Yeah, no. When I did Flaming Pie, everyone kept saying, oh, this is the last album with the great McCartney voice. Not at all. Driving Rain has the great McCartney voice.
Yeah. He's still in very, very, very fine form. A very fine voice. Yeah. But very cool, Sam. Thank you very much. Andy, what you got going on, my friend?
Oh, hopefully by the time this is posted, I'll have some more content up on my other channel, The Other Leg, Andy's Music Vault, with a couple of episodes to go, book reviews, and the other artists that we've kind of featured when Tom and I did our favorite ranking of other albums besides the Beatles or Paul McCartney. I've got an episode on Yes in the can and also The Who. So they'll be coming up on my own channel. And by the time this is posted, one of them will be up. And that's Andy's Music Vault, The Other Leg.
Very good.
There's other music besides Paul and the Beatles. Oh, my God. I wish someone had told me. Oh,
we're slowly discovering all this wonderful music that's been out there, But thank you, Andy. Thank you for all the technical work that you do on this show and making it the number one McCartney podcast out there today. Really appreciate it. As for the two legs, you can reach us at or you can find us at Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Two Legs Podcast. You can check out the YouTube channel where we're killing it at the moment. Thank you everybody for subscribing and watching us on YouTube, Two Legs, a Paul McCartney podcast. Thank you everybody for your comments and checking out the ranking the albums. We had a lot of fun doing that. And
talk more talk.
Well, we just posted our episode on by the time this is posted, we had done another series called Another Listen. Where we just talked about Driving Rain, actually. So, our buddy Joe Mayo likes to call that album Thriving Pain. So you'll see if he still calls it that or not. That's going to be the big mystery. I mean,
is that your next scheduled show to do, Tom?
Yeah, Monday? Yeah. Yeah, Monday tomorrow. Another Listen. on Driving Rain. Yeah, so that's going to be definitely
fun.
A fun.
That'll
one.
Be fun. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I know Kit's not the biggest fan of it, and I know I ranked it pretty low in the albums, but you know, it's definitely an album that I don't hate. I don't think it's his worst album or his weakest, however you want to describe it. But anyways, yeah. So, but again, thank you all for listening, and for Sam Wiles, Annie Nichols. I'm Tom Hunyadi saying you've been watching the best Paul McCartney podcast out there. And as always, have a great day and a beautiful night. Take care, everyone.
No more autographs. I'm very busy.